From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of messages focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to Himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush. During His earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to Himself, clearly demonstrating His deity, that He was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9. The Lord's portion is His people. How are they His? By His own sovereign choice. He chose them and set His love upon them. This He did altogether apart from any goodness in them at the time, or any goodness which He foresaw in them. He had mercy on whom He would have mercy, and ordained a chosen company unto eternal life. Thus, therefore, are they His by His unconstrained election. They are not only His by choice, but by purchase. He has bought and paid for them to the utmost farthing. Hence, about His title there can be no dispute. Not with corruptible things as with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's portion has been fully redeemed. There is no mortgage on His estate. No suits can be raised by opposing claimants. The price was paid in open court, and the church is the Lord's freehold forever. See the blood mark upon all the chosen, invisible to human eye, but known to Christ, for the Lord knoweth them that are His. He forgetteth none of those whom He has redeemed from among men. He counts the sheep for whom He laid down His life, and remembers well the church for which He gave Himself. They are also His by conquest. What a battle He had in us before we would be won! How long He laid siege to our hearts! How often He sent us terms of capitulation! But we barred our gates and fenced our walls against Him. Do we not remember that glorious hour when He carried our hearts by storm? When He placed His cross against the wall and scaled our ramparts, planting on our strongholds the blood-red flag of His omnipotent mercy? Yes, we are indeed the conquered captives of His omnipotent love. Thus chosen, purchased, and subdued, the rights of our divine possessor are inalienable. We rejoice that we never can be our own, and we desire day by day to do His will and to show forth His glory.
Thank you.
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise. This CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. The text for this message, verses 10 through 18 of John chapter 10. In verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. We learn, first of all, that this is a statement of Christ's deity. He is the exclusive shepherd. We've seen that Christ, the divine shepherd, was sent by God, and yet at the same time, he is also God. The Father loves the Son because of who he is and because of what he has done. As the divine shepherd of his flock, the Lord Jesus gives life to his sheep. In this connection, Dr. Cairns explained what Christ meant when he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Furthermore, it is important to see that Christ knows who are his sheep as well as who are not. Here is a sober warning to those who would depend on their works to gain entrance to heaven. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The shepherd comes to tend the sheep that have life, but he can't give them life. I am come that they might have life. And the Authorized Version says, and that they might have it more abundantly. It's caused a whole lot of controversy, and what exactly does that mean? What Jesus said, let me give it just its literal force. What Jesus said was, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have an abundance. I have come to give life to my sheep, and I've come to give my sheep an abundance. Not just an abundance of life, an abundance of everything. Isn't that what the whole New Testament's all about? Isn't that the constant, repetitious message of Paul? He's always talking about this overflowing fullness that there is in Christ. There's an abundance. Whatever you need, there's that abundance in Christ. And He wants us to live in His fullness. This is what He's saying. I have come to give life to my sheep. But not just to give them life and let them wander around, emaciated little creatures, scrawny little things in the hillside. I have come that they might live in my fullness. I have come that they might live in my abundance. That's verse 10. It's the very same message as Romans 5, verse 20. For sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Ephesians 1, He blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the verses I've quoted so many times from this pulpit, I'm almost ashamed to do them again. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we have these exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we're made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We have these exceeding great and precious promises. What do they deal with? What do they deal with, these promises? I mean, are they good for you today where you're sitting? Are they good for the problem that you're facing? Do they deal with the situation that you're now in? Well, Peter tells us what they are, what they deal with. He hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's a pretty wide description. There's the fullness. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have abundance. Then He came to give them life by giving His life for them. Verse 11, verse 15, verse 17. This triple emphasis on laying down His life, but specifically for them. Bishop Ryle says that certainly it means for their benefit. He believes in vicarious atonement, but he's not quite sure that vicariousness actually is in the text there. And then he ends up saying, but I really can't disagree with a certain lexicographer whom he goes on to quote, who says that in the New Testament, this expression, giving the life for, always means and cannot mean anything else but that one life is saved by the other being given in its place. I think you cannot get away from this. The Savior is saying, I don't just die because I can't do anything else but die, for if I don't, the thief is going to come and get my sheep. There's a much higher thing here. I'm dying as a sacrifice. You see, a sacrifice is directed first to God. And this introduces something that doesn't sit well in the figure of speech of sheep and shepherd, but it sits well in the theology of what the Savior is saying. The biggest trouble that you have if you're not saved is not that sin has a grip of you. That's a huge trouble. Your biggest trouble is not that Satan is out to destroy you. That is a huge trouble too. But your biggest trouble is that your sin is an offense to a holy God, and raises the wrath and the curse of God against you to damn you in outer darkness forever. And could you somehow escape the clutches of the thief? Could you somehow better your nature to conquer the worst passions of your sin? You would still be facing the wrath and the curse of a sin-hating God. What you need is a shepherd who can lay down his life in your place, a sacrifice in your place, to put away the wrath of God that is your due, reconcile you, purchase you, redeem you, and save you. That's what no earthly shepherd could ever do. And that's what the good shepherd does. He, according to verse 12 and 13, cares for his sheep, unlike the hireling who doesn't. I think you've got to be realistic here. The Lord Jesus is not condemning every person who works for hire. He's not saying that every person who's hired to do a job is untrustworthy. That would be unjust of Christ, and it would be untrue, and that's impossible. So that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that when you see a shepherd run away, you know they're not his sheep. When you see him run for his own life and leave the flock to be devastated, he's just a hireling, and ultimately he cares more for himself than he cares for the sheep. But the Lord Jesus says, I care for them, and therefore I protect them. In verse 14 he says, I know, he knows his sheep. You'll notice the word sheep is italicized. I think that it's exactly right to put it there, but literally what he's saying is, I know my own and my own know me. Now, since he's talking about sheep, he's saying, I know my own sheep. I know them. I want you to understand this. The Lord Jesus is saying, I recognize these as mine. I confess them to be mine. They are not just people who profess to be in my flock. I know them. I confess them. I own them. There are people with a true saving interest in my merit. They're mine. They're mine by covenant. The Father gave them to me. They're mine by blood. I purchased them with the sacrifice of the cross. They're mine by power, for I have put them in my flock, and no one will ever take them out of it. They're mine. Can I say to you this morning, that is the greatest blessing and the single greatest honor that an all-wise God and an all-gracious God can ever confer on any mortal man or woman. That the Son of God comes, says, he's mine. Satan wants him. No, sir. He's mine. He's mine. I want to tell you that so far outstrips everything in this wild, wicked world. It so far outstrips all the riches of the world, all the pleasures of the world, all the treasures of the world, all the things that you can do in this world, all the considerations of time. It so far outstrips everything of this world that it is utterly amazing that any man could despise the call of the gospel to enter into that flock for any earthly consideration. For you see, over against that statement, I know my own sheep, there is the implication, I know those who are not my own sheep. They may pose as my sheep, Others may mistake them for my sheep. But I know my sheep, and I know those who are not my sheep. You remember how the Lord Jesus dealt with this? This is a stark, stark and terrible contrast. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, he speaks of the day when men and women stand before him for judgment. And he says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And they go on giving their spiritual pedigree, their spiritual credentials. We preached or prophesied in your name. In your name we cast out devils. In your name we did miracles. I want to put it to you. Here on earth, most people who cast out devils, say they're doing it in Jesus' name, who do miracles in Jesus' name, and they get up and preach in Jesus' name, they expect to be recognized as Christians. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I know my sheep, but I never knew you as one of them. I want you to stop there this morning. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know every sheep of mine. I wonder, does he have to put his finger in you today? Say, I don't know you as one of my sheep. I know you as a hypocrite, a liar. I know you as a religious charlatan. I know you as a church member. I know you as a professor. But I don't know you as one of my sheep. You say, well, how could I ever know? Well, he goes on to say, not only do I know my sheep, but I am known by my sheep. In other words, if you know Christ, now the knowing Christ is the knowing not just of recognition, it is that. It is recognizing him to be your shepherd, your leader, your sacrifice, your sovereign. It is recognizing him, yes. It is also more than mere recognition in terms of mental assent. This is the equivalent of believing. This is the equivalent of receiving. This is the equivalent of following. This is the equivalent of taking the place of the sinner and casting yourself entirely and absolutely upon Christ the Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.